We spend a lot of time planning how we will spend our waking hours when we're out and about recreating in the great outdoors. For example, I've been thinking a whole lot about moose and caribou hunting, going over packing lists for various types and durations, locations to hunt, and strategies that have worked in those locations during past seasons. The planning is typically a really fun part of the process, at least for a lot of people, yours truly included. A part of that planning should really also include how we're going to spend our time during our non-waking hours as well, as that can certainly have an impact on just how good or not good we feel during the waking hours. Yeah, that's pretty much true for any time we do anything anywhere, but the focus of this program is stuff as it relates to the outdoors, or at least it is most of the time. With that in mind, I'd like to talk a bit today about the great outdoors and how we rest when we're out there. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. This is one of those programs where I suppose I'd offer up that I don't think of myself as an expert, but I am working on the second half century of my life, and I know what's worked for me up to this point. How you achieve enjoyable sleep does seem to me to change a bit with time, and we all have our own personal preferences, so your mileage may vary, as the saying goes. Some folks fall asleep a lot easier than others. Kids can have an uncanny knack for that. My hunting buddy's youngest son can sleep anywhere at any time. He's maybe 7 now, and one minute he's going 1,000 miles an hour, and then the next, he's out cold, wherever he happened to be when he ran out of gas. My youngest daughter once, while in the 8th grade, fell asleep, standing up and holding a tent pole, in the middle of a driving rainstorm. True story. In my younger years, I had absolutely no ability to take a nap. I slept at night, if I slept at all. In the last 7 or 8 years, well, I've apparently tapped into an inner talent for naps. In fact, as the outdoors goes, I've had many a fine nap, lounging on some lichen-covered slope, with the sun shining down and a pair of binoculars resting on my chest. So, how much sleep do you need, anyhow? And I realize these are straight sleep numbers and may or may not carry weight as it pertains to how much sleep you get while camping. According to the National Sleep Foundation, school-aged children should be getting 9 to 11 hours per night. Teenagers need 8 to 10. Younger adults, mid-20s and below, should get 7 to 9. Adults, working age to retirement, need the same amount. And over 65 adults, 7 to 8 hours. Because individual needs can vary, they recommend asking yourself a few questions to find specific answers. Questions like, are you productive, healthy, and happy on 7 hours sleep? Or does it take you 9 to get into high gear? Are you experiencing sleep problems? Do you depend on caffeine to get you through the day? Do you feel sleepy while driving? In other words, take a good, long, honest look at your own life to determine what you need. I know as I've gotten older, I recognize how much I enjoy a good night's sleep and how beneficial I find it the next day. It makes it easier to slip into the bedroom, pick up a book, and call it a night. Regarding sleep issues, it may be that you need a bit of help to pull off that good night's rest. My wife was diagnosed with sleep apnea, got hooked up with an APAP machine, and now enjoys her night's rest much more. Let's try and shift gears to sleep and being outdoors. I'd argue that getting a good night's rest outdoors can be easier to achieve if you have the right things with you to do that. For most outdoor settings, it's probable that you're going to be unplugged. There's going to be less noise and light and electronic distractions to intrude on the night, which should make it easier to sleep, right? The trick then is making sure you have the right combination of equipment and conditions to make that happen. When I say conditions, you need to be dry and you need to be warm. Maybe you're in a cabin somewhere, maybe you're in a tent, or maybe you're camped out under the stars. Though, I'd guess people in drier areas of the lower 48 do that a whole lot more than folks up here do. In a cabin, it's probably a little easier to control some of that. Turn up the Toyo stove, or put another log on the fire if you're cold, or maybe open a window or crack open the door if you're hot. And unless the roof's in bad repair, staying dry should be a given. With tents, this provides for a great argument for having a good, solid tent, a topic about which I've railed on about many times before. The short answer, again, a a waterproof rating of at least 1500, and more is better, a rain fly that goes all the way to the ground, a vestibule is a nice plus, and solid sturdy poles, whether aluminum or fiberglass, though aluminum is considered to be more durable. When the weather is really crummy, a great tent can make all the difference in the world towards staying dry and staying warm, which can mean the difference between a good night's rest and a sleepless one. The right sleeping bag is critically important too, and that will be different things for different people and situations. I have a new-to-me mummy bag that I researched and purchased, and I did so specifically with fly-in situations in mind. It's about half the weight of my favorite bag. Even though I'm a bit bulky through the midsection, I seem to fit fine in it. And I do believe the temperature rating will have me nice and toasty for everything between about April and October up here. I haven't actually used it in the field yet. That's coming soon. But I feel pretty confident it's going to work just dandy. That said, if you're doing your sleeping in a cabin or transporting camping gear by boat, you can get away with a lot more. Maybe you favor a large bulky bag with plenty of loft and cover in order to achieve a good night's rest. I favor non-cotton materials because I know most of what I'm going to do is in a tent, so that makes sense. But if you know there's no chance of it getting wet, a warm, soft flannel lining sure can feel good and very much contribute to a great night's sleep. What's under the sleeping bag is important too. Time was, I could throw down a sleeping bag and sleep like a log. Back in the days when I was coaching high school basketball and we were sleeping on classroom floors throughout the region. Maybe I could still get by like that, but I don't have to and I don't try. Air mats and cots make life a lot nicer, and having the right one can go a long ways toward making sure you get a quality sleep when you're out and trying to fill your freezer with critters and berries. I would also add at this point that finding and knowing what works for you is, in my humble opinion, an evolving process over the course of your life. Fact is, our needs change as we age, and companies are always coming out with newer and sometimes better stuff. It's a personal tightrope, finding and choosing between what works and what might possibly be an improvement. Only you will know how that works for you. An example, I used to use an Aero Bed pack mat. It's an air mat that rolls up to fit in a tube that's 19 inches long and 4 inches in diameter. The tube doubles as the pump for the mat once the mat is removed. I used one of these for several years and loved it. If I had to use it today, well, I still have it, I'm sure it would give me a good night's sleep. But then I discovered I could do better. The pack mat is a standard air mat size, something like 22 or 23 inches wide. I'm not exactly skinny, so more coverage seems like a good idea. And while 19 by 4 inches isn't much, I'm always a fan of smaller is better, all else being equal. A few years ago, I discovered the Climate V-Lux air mat, and barring something that offers phenomenal improvement, I'll never own anything different again. It's the size of an Algene water bottle when it's deflated, but a roomy 30 inches wide when inflated. It is the bomb, and very much a huge part of me getting good sleep when I'm outdoors. Cots are great additions and can come in so many sizes. I've got one for fly-in situations that's wide, fairly light, 4 pounds, holds 300 pounds, and breaks down to about 7 by 17 inches. At the other end of the spectrum, Cabela's makes some you could almost host parties on. You'll roll and roll and roll and never roll off. A very nice, comfortable, serviceable one, if weight's not an issue, well, the weight's something like 15 pounds, is the Coleman Trailhead 2. I've spent many a fine night on mine, and they can be had on Amazon for a little over 30 bucks. Not all that much when you're considering that it might give you sleep that's just that much better in quality. The bottom line, a cot might just be the thing to improve your sleep situation, and there are cots to cover a whole range of outdoor applications. One thing that has changed for me in camping situations is that I insist on an actual pillow. When I was younger, I was okay with balling up a coat and calling it good. Not anymore, not if I can help it anyway. I will often take a full-size pillow as that gives me the best sleep. Some of those memory foam pillows pack tight but return to shape and work well. I'm experimenting right now with a smaller pillow made by Teton that compresses to about the size of a large fist and feels great. Also, they're just 10 bucks at Sportsman's Warehouse. My hunting buddies use one by sea to Summit, and they swear by it, though I've not yet had the pleasure of trying one myself. There are other things we could talk about that might fit other situations. My daughter wants to put up a hammock when our cabin is finished. Heck, maybe you have a cabin somewhere with an actual Sleep Number bed in it, pulling juice from a gas-powered generator. As we close, I just ask you to consider this. Give thought to how you're sleeping when you're out there, and how much sleep you're getting. It does have an impact on your waking hours. You'll feel better, be more alert, and less likely to do something goofy that might have a negative impact on your trip. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.